Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Welcome to half term hell.
And it's not half term for me, so I'm not in hell yet, but I know what to expect.
Oh my God, you're not.
No, it's weird, isn't it? This half term, I feel like it's a real half and half situation going on. Which
so
not going to be good for the travel.
So your kids at school?
Yeah, my kids are at school. But next week, your kids will be at school and mine won't. And then, that'll be that. How's your weekend?
I mean, is it even a weekend any longer? Let's just throw that out to the people. Are the weekends actually, should they just not be called another day in the week?
Extension of the weekend with no childcare. Extension of the week without childcare.
Days without childcare. Look, I mean, I'm coming off the back of quite a stressful weekend with the kids, if I'm honest with you. And it's not, they are such wonderful, beautiful little humans. So let's just start with that before everyone starts getting on me about I don't like my kids. They also just, they have an incredible ability of pushing so hard with like demands where it's like, I don't feel like they're ever that satisfied with what they've got. They're constantly asking for more, whether it's more food or more this or more that, or like anything I do, maybe I'm being super prickly as well, because I feel like they're not appreciating the amount of work that goes into running this life. And so it's just a constant disappointment to them. I just feel like I look at them sometimes and they're just like, oh, I don't, what, you want to take me to a National Trust today? It's like, I'm fucking doing it for you, you little shits. I'm not doing it for me.
Do you think I want to be there?
No, I don't want to be there. I want to be having brunch with my girlfriends or going shopping with friends or going to Paris for the weekend. You know, like it's that feeling of just, I don't know, like we have a lovely time when we get there, but I think I'm getting quite a lot of kickback from Isla at the moment. She's been fairly difficult. I feel like I've got a teenager in the house. I feel like Kit is winding everyone up by like, you know, punching and fighting and bickering with the girls, and they're coming to moan to me. And to be honest with you, I'm just a bit fucking bored of it.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what?
I think there's probably going to be these stages, like for both of us, where the age gaps don't quite gel. And I reckon right now where you've got like Luna, who's about to go into the juniors next year, it's almost like there's that whole thing, isn't there? Like where you're top of the infants and you're a bit grown up. And then you've got Isla, who again is about to go to secondary school. So again, like that whole thing. And then the dynamic. And then you've got Kit, who like wants to probably be older or wants to fit in. And like it all just doesn't quite gel for a bit. But then, you know, it's exactly like when, you know, Luna and Kit were little, you've click your fingers and it all falls back into place again and they'll all be mates again.
Do your kids fight and argue?
Oh my God,
bicker?
Of course they do. Course they do. Like Axel's got a good, I'd say like his temperament is really quite placid, where he can take a lot, but then as soon as he snaps, he snaps. Whereas Gigi is just like the ultimate wind up for him.
Wind up merchant.
Yeah, I mean, God, this happened at the weekend. It really made me laugh. So Axel has a drawer in his bedroom and he puts his football cards and then he's got money in there. You know, like money from like grandparents or like whatever it is. He just keeps, he keeps money in there. And it's just always there. It's fine. Anyway, we sold something on Facebook Marketplace at the weekend. We never have cash in the house. And James had put the money on the side and then we were going out to get the car cleaned. And James was like, oh, where's that cash gone? And Axel goes, oh, I stole it. And we were like, oh, okay, I'll go up to your drawer. I opened the drawer and I was like, Axel, where's the rest of your money gone? And he was like, oh my God, it's gone. He was like, because the money, only the money from the sale of from Facebook Marketplace was in there. He was like, oh my God, it's gone. It's gone. And you know, for like a
second. How much do you reckon he had in there?
I don't know. I don't know how much he had in there. Maybe 50 quid, what, 60 50 quid, something yeah, like fine. That. Yeah. But like a mixture of coins and, you know, it wasn't just notes. Yep. And he'd had friends over on Saturday and they'd been messing about in his room. And you know, when you're suddenly like, oh my God, like,
ooh, what, maybe one of them
what have they been doing with it, right? So I'm suddenly like, oh no, Axel, come on, mate. It's got to be in here somewhere, because he was getting really like panicky. Like, oh my God, where's it gone? Where's it gone? And Gigi's just watching this all unfold. And then I turned around to Gigi. I was like, she's good at looking for things, Gigi. I was like, Gigi, do you know where it is? And she suddenly burst into tears. I was like, Gigi, where is it? And she went, I took it. Axel has stolen from James and Gigi has stolen from Axel. And I was like, okay, right, come on then, where is it? She wouldn't tell us. She wouldn't tell us. Oh. I'm not telling you. No, come on, where is it? Anyway, she'd hidden it in his wallet under her mattress. Fully under her mattress.
The old under the mattress. She's like a mafiosa drug dealer.
That's what people who get paid in cash do, isn't it? Like, they don't have a safe. They put it. Well, there we go. All of us. So then we found it, and we were like, okay, come on, let's go and get the car wash. And she burst into tears again, and I was like, Gigi, what is wrong?
Shame.
And she went, Axel just gets everything. He gets all of the money. No one ever gives me any money. Oh no 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 no. Literally this whole outburst. And then you know you're suddenly like, oh my God, she's suddenly grown up. And it's probably like my dad, my mom, like anyone, where they give Axel a tenner, but they're not going to give like a 2-year-old a tenner or a 3-year-old. But now she's suddenly 4 and it's like no one's realized, and she's suddenly not a baby, and she's realizing, hang on a minute, why am I not getting this? And why, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck.
I get this is, but you know what, in our house, it's not necessarily money. It's things like last night I was making the girls some natural yogurt and honey. I've tried to get them into it a bit healthier than like whatever it is for dessert. And I said to the girls, oh, do you want some fruit and berries on it? And Isla was like, no, thanks. And Luna was like, yeah, she's such a fruit bat. So I put berries and I put chopped some mango up, gave it to the girls, and Isla went, Luna's got mango. And I said, yeah, no, I said fruit and berries. And she was like, no, you said berries. And I was like, okay, I didn't, but I was like, okay. And she was like, Luna always gets the good fruit. And I was like, oh, we're talking, what? I'm favouriting one child over the other with fucking fruit now, am I? I mean, that is where we are at in the house at the moment. I've never been more grateful to have booked a week on drive time in my entire life. I'm leaving in a couple of hours and I will be skipping out that front door today. I'm throwing it out there. I can't wait to go to work. I cannot wait.
Oh my God. I know anyway. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that we're, you know, it's
in
the
solidarity
same.
Sister.
We are, exactly. We're never going to get that right, are we? If you put 3 blueberries on one person's plate and 4 on the other, then that's it. You like them better. So
of course you do. You love them more. Georgia, we need to get into today's conversation, because it was a really good one with somebody who you and I have both watched. She's an actress. She's been on our screens since the sort of, well, if I say the name of the show she's in, you'll get it straight away. But basically, she's a child actress. She's gone on to be an actress of movies, TV shows. She's done loads. And she had her little boy. I guess you could call her a fairly young mum, although you were about the same age, were you?
I think she was 25 when she fell pregnant. I was 26. So yeah, like similar age. But yeah, I think we had this conversation, didn't we? Like, what's classified as a young mum now? And you would say it is. It's like mid-20s would still be young. But it's really interesting how, you know, society tells us when we should be having kids, and it can change at any point. Can change at any point, because one minute you're too old, one minute you're too young. There is no right time. And yeah, I really love the conversation. It was very honest, and just, I really enjoy it when people come on, especially, you know, after they've just had a baby and they say, you know what, didn't really enjoy it that much until now.
Yeah. It's really refreshing to hear that, wasn't it?
She's got a
great birth story as well. Yes. Really interesting birth story. So look, we can't wait for you guys to hear it today. Georgia, who are we talking to?
We are chatting to Mia McKenna-Bruce.
So joining us on the podcast today, the most incredible actress, somebody that we've watched on our screens for a very long time since she starred in Tracy Beaker Returns. She's gone on to dizzy heights, gracing our movies, TV shows. More recently, How to Have Sex was an absolutely incredible film that I absolutely loved. Mum to Leo, an all-round legend, it's Mia McKenna-Bruce.
Thank you for having me.
Mia, how's your morning been? You've got a five-month-old. How's the morning been?
I mean, he sleeps in until like 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how or why he does that, but it's been quite chill so far.
What? Hang on, stop. Couldn't you just tell us about that then?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So I'm a really, really bad sleeper. So I was kind of like, this is going to be great, having a baby, a little like insomnia buddy. And he sleeps like, for England, he sleeps like there's no tomorrow.
Really? And does he wake up before then?
He wakes up maybe like once in the night.
That is incredible, Mia. You deserve, actually, do you know what? You're a really nice person, so you deserve this.
You do. Thanks, good karma.
I feel like maybe he's gone like, okay, I'm being born into a lot of chaos. I get it, guys. I'll just chill out. That's what it feels a bit like.
So do you get the mornings then to kind of get up, you know, get showered, get yourself kind of prepped for the day, or are you on his time frame?
I mean, it kind of varies depending on what I've got going on in the day, but this morning was very much on his time frame. Jumped in the shower maybe like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, lovely slow morning.
Yeah.
Oh. Brilliant. Do you know what, my kids slept in today, all of them, until 7:15, and so that is completely unheard of. In fact, when I woke up, my little boy was next to me in bed, which was so gorgeous because we had this lovely moment where I was awake and he was asleep, and I was just staring at him. He's five, and I was just
I love that.
And then I looked at the blinds, and I was like, oh my God, it's light outside. What time is it? And it was 7:15. That has never, ever, ever happened.
Oh my God. What time do they normally wake
up? It has now.
Celebrating.
Maybe it's the new thing.
5:45.
Okay. I'm going to make the most of it then.
Definitely.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Mia, we obviously want to talk about your parenting journey and, you know, what life is like right now. But do you want to just take us back to your own childhood? Because you were a bit of a child star, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I started kind of working, I think my first job was like I was 7 years old, so started quite young. I started dancing when I was 2, I think it was, just like this child with so much energy. And like I said, I don't sleep now, so I definitely didn't sleep as a child. So my mum was kind of like, what do we do with this crazy kid? Make her do something. And so I started dance really young, and then, yeah, from there, just kind of was really, really lucky and got to start working, which obviously at that age, I never considered like would be an actual career. It was all very much fun and games. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a mad one.
We often have conversations on the podcast about how hard you push your kids. Because, I mean, I've got 3, George has got 2, and it's that conversation where they're all showing interest in things. So was your mum a mominger, or was she kind of like, look, Mia, this is what you can do, and I'm going to let you take the lead on it?
No, she was very much sat back with it. I think partly because she had no idea what any of it kind of meant. So it was all like, when I first, my first audition, I found in a newspaper for like this amateur musical in Croydon, and I was like, please let me go to this audition. And my mom and dad were like very much trying to manage my expectations, like, okay, like you can go to the audition, but don't kind of expect to get into the show, it'll be people that have been training and all of this. So they were very much like reserved about the whole thing. And also, I don't think, like, they were always really supportive, but never kind of, I really wanted to go to like a full-time dance school and stuff like that. And they were always like, no, like focus on your education, stuff like that. So I think they were quite not really sure what this world was. And so we're very supportive, but not like pushing me into it. I was very much pushing them until maybe I got to teen years, when I was a bit like, I was a bit more kind of, oh, I want to hang out with my friends more than go to dance class still. And they were a bit more like, come on, Mia, like you've worked really hard for this. Like, don't kind of just give it all up now.
Yeah. Well, did you see any of like your friends, like with parents who really pushed them? And what sort of, I guess if you did, what sort of effect do you think that had? Because we, like Zoe just said, we sit on, like, we literally don't know what to do with our kids. Like, one week they love something, they love ballet, the next week they don't. And you think, oh God, should I make you go? Should I not make you go?
Yeah. I think there's like a really fine line, isn't there? Of like, because I definitely remember there would be times I would not want to go to dance, and they'd be like, nope, like it's booked, it's paid for, you've worked for it, you're going to dance. But I think if I ever turned around, like my younger sister really hated ballet. So they were like, yeah, no, let's just stop her. She really doesn't enjoy it. But I had friends that, or not even friends, but when I was at auditions, I'd see other children and they'd be literally crying because they don't want to go into like auditions and stuff. And their parents are like, no, no, do it. Like, come on, you've got to do this. And I mean, I don't think I knew them personally enough to know where that ended up for them, but they're definitely not still in the industry. So I think probably at some point they were able to be like, I don't want to do this anymore. But I think if it's at a point where they're like crying, not wanting to do it, probably they really don't want to do it.
I think also you have to listen to your kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, fundamentally, that is the message, because if they're not, it doesn't, I mean, yes, if you've paid for a course, like my daughter was doing dance and I like desperately wanted her to do it because I was like, all jazz hands and all. And then literally she did a year and then she said to me before Christmas, she was like, can this be my last term? I'm just not enjoying it anymore. And I just thought, well, yeah, you do multi-sports and you do cooking and you do running club and you do swimming. And it's like, if you don't want to do dance, don't be a dancer. And also, she's not going to be a dancer.
Also, if she's done it for like a year.
Unlike me.
Yeah. Also, she's done it for like a year. Like, she's given it a good go. So it's kind of like, it's giving the chance. It's having, like, giving them the chance to give it a go, I think. And then if they don't want to, they don't want to.
How much of your childhood do you feel like you maybe missed out on, or looking at your friends that weren't in the industry? Because you were in, you know, Tracy Beaker, you know, it was a massive show. So do you feel like there were elements of it that you wish you could have back?
I don't think I felt like I missed out, but it was definitely different. So like, we spent 6 months of the year away from school and we'd do tutoring on set. So like, coming back to school was always tough because obviously like, kids can be very, you know, like severe with changing friends and all of this. So I'd kind of come back to my friends and they've moved on. So that was really tough. And it was always kind of, I was desperately trying to kind of be the class clown and stuff like that, because I was like, oh, if I make people laugh or something, like, they want to be my friend again. So that part was definitely really tough. And then also joining secondary school, I was already on the show. So people had this perception of me before we started, like before I joined school, and they were like, oh, like, she's this actor, like, she's probably really big headed, and like, had this really bad view of me before I even joined the school. So it was kind of about having to unpick people's perceptions of me before I'd even like got to know them, which was quite hard at a young age.
What were your friendships like in secondary school? I mean, we were having a chat earlier, though, weren't we, about, you know, teenage girls, and that's a really tricky time to navigate as it is.
Jesus
I can't
Christ.
Imagine where, if you're in and out of school or people have already got a preconception of who you are, how were like those teenage years for you?
Yeah, I mean, it could be rough, definitely. There were times at school that I mean, I'd walk along the corridor and like, they'd be peeing like elastic bands in my face and stuff like this, all but just because, you know how hard teenage girls can be anyway, but all just because like I was on TV as well, that they were like, oh, like, I don't know, thinking I was someone that I wasn't, you know, and thinking I thought I was someone I wasn't. But I had like this really good group of friends, and one of them is my best friend now. She had a baby 3 weeks after I did, so we've like gone through it all together. Amazing. And she was like she was at my rock all the way through. So I think the main thing was having like really, really tight friendships with the people that I was friends with, you know.
Were you able to kind of communicate with anybody during that period? Because I guess from an outsider's point of view, it looked like, you know, had it all on TV, you know, kind of that level of people knowing you at a certain age, but also doing a job that you love, but it happened, you know, in those real formative years. Were you talking to anybody about how you were feeling day to day?
Not particularly. I think the main thing was, the show that I was on was a cast of like 13 of us that were all a similar age, so we really relied on each other a lot. Like, we were all going through the same things, kind of having to go back into school and not have a great time. And it just made those times on set even more amazing, I think. Like, we loved it and appreciated it so much because we were getting like one extreme to the other. So it was about us lot really, really coming together. And we had chaperones that, because we lived away from home, so we had chaperones with us that were like our family, because I was on the show for eight years in the end. So we opened up to them a lot.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Yeah. Gosh. And a lot of the chaperones had worked on Biker Grove as well. So they'd also been through, like, they'd spoke to other children that had been through similar situations. So they were really, really great as well, kind of getting to pick their brains with it.
Do you think it's made you more resilient as a human?
I think maybe. I think the main thing is it's just made me really grateful for the work that I do. It's made me really, like, also really realise, kind of, I learned at a young age what it felt like to be an outsider. So I think it's made me really not ever want to make anyone feel like that at all. And yeah, I think just kind of being really appreciative and grateful for the friends and kind of my family that I do have in my life. Like, I'm really, really grateful for them as well.
Can we talk about your amazing movie, How to Have Sex? I read something that you said, saying, I would have loved to have had this film when I was younger. I resonated with Tara in so many ways, particularly her desperation to live up to the expectations that other people have of her. I remember that being such a thing for me, particularly at that age. Just talk us through that.
Yeah, I think particularly like what we've been talking about, where I was trying to change the way people thought of me at school. I was constantly like saying yes to everything, every party, every this, every that, because I was like, I need to try and make up for this time that I haven't been here, and kind of be this person that they want me to be, even if that's not me. Like, I was kind of quite happy to sit back, but they wanted me to be this loud, funny, kind of take the brunt of the jokes person. So I did, because I was like, I need to make them like me. So that's where I really, really resonated with Tara a lot from the film.
Trying to be all things to all people.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to be, and even if it wasn't necessarily who you were as a person. And then I guess sort of moving away from your incredible career where you're still right in the middle of it. How the hell have you managed to have a baby at the age of 26? This is quite remarkable, because I've got to be honest with you, even when I was pushing out my first child at age 34, I was still thinking, fucking hell, this is not the right time.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
Was it a conscious decision?
No. So we kind of discussed, as me and my partner Tom, we kind of discussed, like, okay, there's never going to be a right time for us, because obviously with the work that I do as well, you have to take time away from that. So it's really hard to ever find the right time to do it. So we were kind of like, look, if it happens in the near future, it happens, and we'll make it work. And it happened a lot quicker than we thought it was going to. So I fell pregnant December, not the one just gone, the one before. And it was the first pregnancy test I've ever taken in my life. Like, literally, I had no idea what it even meant. I was literally like, just, I don't even know why I chose to take it. I was just like, okay, let's just do a test and see. I think I'd felt kind of like dizzy, a bit dizzy. My period was a bit late, which, like, I was always, the reason I'd never kind of taken a pregnancy test before, my period had always been very, very, like, on time, like, hit the schedule to a T. So I took this test and I was like, Tom, oh my God, get the leaflet. Like, what does this mean? And he's like running around trying to find the leaflet, because I didn't know what the lines meant. And then, yeah, we were pregnant.
Exactly. I know that exact feeling, because I was the same. I had a whole pack of those ones with the crisscrosses on them. And I was like, hang on a minute. What does a cross mean? What does a line mean? I need the one that literally spells it out to you.
Yeah, exactly. So literally the first thing we did was like go to Tesco and buy the ones that say like pregnant, like 1 to 2 weeks. Or whatever it was. So I was like, I don't believe this is real. And then I booked an early scan at 6 weeks, because I was still like, I just don't believe this is real. Like, I just couldn't comprehend. And also, I was like, what do I do about work? I was like, oh my God, like, because I just finished filming How to Have Sex and I didn't really have anything else lined up. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. But somehow, by a weird twist of fate, it lined perfectly with kind of the press for How to Have Sex, and also, very selfishly for me, the actor's strike worked amazingly, because nobody could work.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, so in a way, it's kind of like a COVID lockdown, isn't it? There was just nothing that anybody could do about it. So you could just be at home with the bubble. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot,
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Like, how did you, like, what was sort of going through your mind? Obviously, joy, because you've got your amazing partner and you're having a baby. What were the other feelings around it?
What on earth do we do here? Do we need to move house? We've just taken on another dog. I think we just got back from holiday as well. And we were just like, yeah, obviously, you kind of want to hit the 12-week mark before you start sharing the news. And we didn't really know how early on we were in the pregnancy. So I was like, this is the most life-changing news ever. And I don't know who to tell. Or like, if I do tell them, like, they're going to be like, well, how,
such a weird moment.
How pregnant? Yeah, it's so weird. And you're just like, you like this life-changing news. And you just got to kind of sit and stare at your partner and go like, what?
Yeah, it's a secret together for a little while. Yeah.
And we just went to Tesco and I was like, I feel like I want to tell everyone I was pregnant and like have my hands on my stomach. Like, what on earth is going on?
So you obviously, were you 25 or 26 when you fell pregnant?
25, which like is very young. And I didn't think I would be that young when I had a baby. And none of my friends, apart from my best friend who had her, she found out like 2 days later that she was pregnant. None of our friends have kind of had babies either. So for us, it was like, we were kind of the first ones in our group. And we were like, no idea how to, also don't really have, I'm the first in my family to really have a baby. So it was like, this was very, very, very new territory.
Yeah, because I sort of feel like 25, 26 is almost like the new 19, 20 to be having a baby, you know, like most people are having the babies in their 30s. I think I was the same. I was 26 when I fell pregnant with my first.
Yeah.
And I did feel young. And I think people, I guess, kind of treat you differently. Did you find that, like, when you were going to appointments or, you know, just when you had a bump, people would almost kind of, I don't know, I felt like, oh gosh, am I too young to be doing this or something? Why is this so weird?
Definitely. I mean, also, I do look for, in How to Have Sex, I play 16. So like, I'm very small. I look quite young. Wow. So when I was walking around with a bump, people were like, oh my God, how old is she? And people would ask me quite a lot, like, oh, how old are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm 25. And I remember at appointments as well, they'd make me feel young and I'd want to take my mum with me because I'm like, I feel young and I feel like you're treating me like I'm young. But then I was a bit like, but then that kind of defeats the object because then if I take my mum, then I will really, really seem young. So it's kind of like, no, need to go do this. But yeah, I felt really young all the way along until we were having, when the health visitors come around after you've had the baby and she was telling me about the local groups in the area. And then she was like, oh, and there's like a young mum's one. And then she was like, oh no, you're too old for that one. And I was like, sorry? And she was like, no.
We were like, yes.
Yeah. She was like, you have to be under 25. And I was like, wait, but I've been being made to feel like I'm the youngest mum that's ever like graced the earth.
Yeah.
And now I'm too old.
How about this weird society? The society love to put you in a box when it comes to your pregnancies. I.e., if you're under 25, people treat you strangely. And, oh, did you plan this?
Yeah.
And, you know, they think it's sort of strange these days. But if you're over a certain age in your 30s, then you're considered to be a geriatric mother. Why can't we just get on board with people just choosing to have babies whenever they want to, or embracing motherhood, however it looks. It's weird.
Exactly. It's so strange, particularly the geriatric mother thing. I've spoke to so many people like that recently who have been classified as geriatric mothers. And it's like that word in itself sounds so like this whole other like thing to it. And it's like, no, we're all just mums. It doesn't matter what age we are.
Well, they're not looking at Hugh Hefner and going, you're a geriatric father when he was alive. They were just going, what a fucking legend. What baby's this?
Exactly.
Which number's this?
Exactly.
Isn't it weird?
What about the legends that actually have to do the carrying of the baby?
Exactly.
How was your pregnancy and birth?
Okay, so my pregnancy was okay. I had a lot of sickness until about 4 months. Every time I moved, I was sick. It was just, you know, how it is. Then I was okay for a bit, and then I basically overdid it around the 6 months mark. I started press for the film. We went to Cannes, and then I flew from Cannes back to England and then to Spain all within like a few days. And then I started bleeding on the flight, which was just obviously when you bleed pregnant, you think like the worst. And I was on the flight, and we had about half an hour left of this flight and so on. Obviously, you can't do anything. And this lovely girl, bless her, was like, oh, I recognize you from Tracy Beaker. Like, can I talk to you about it? And can I get a photo? And all in my brain was like, I literally cannot right now. Like, all I can think about is what is going on. But luckily, touchdown in Spain. Yeah. And my cousin in Spain, she was also pregnant. So I messaged her straight away and was like, what hospital are you at? Like, I need to go to hospital ASAP. And she came with me, which was great because I don't speak very good Spanish and she speaks Spanish. So she did all that and they were amazing. They gave us like really incredible, checked everything. And basically I'd overdone it. And they were like, you need to slow down. And if it happens again, you can't fly home basically. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in Spain having this baby because I'm not going to be able to leave. But luckily we were all okay. And we had a few more episodes of bleeding. That was literally just all to do with me doing too much. And then basically started having these scans where they were like, you have a giant baby. And I'm only 4'11".
Stop it.
Yeah. I'm only four foot eleven.
Oh, what, on the percentile? Yeah. So every time you were going for the scan, they were going, it's in the, what percentile was it? Can you remember?
It was in the 98th percentile. And
shut up.
Yeah. And they're all finding it so funny.
Oh my God, that's scary.
So scary. They're finding it so funny. And they're like, oh, he obviously takes off his dad. And then I'm like, guys, this isn't funny. Like, how am I going to push this baby out? And then I was like having a checkup for the bleeds. And this gorgeous midwife said to me, you're very tiny and I can see that your baby's measuring very big. She was like, have you thought about mode of delivery? And I was like, I don't even know what that means. And she was like, well, like an option for a C-section or early induction so that, you know, hopefully your baby doesn't get too big for you to push out. And I was like, no one's mentioned that to me. And she was like, ask about it. So then I asked my own midwife and we had these meetings with these consultants. And I mean, they were very much like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. I've never done this before. I need someone to kind of tell me. Basically, we went down the route of early induction, but I didn't kind of realize what that meant. So we were induced at 38 and a half weeks. And we went in to be induced and they gave me the pessary for 24 hours. I started contracting back to back with no gap. And then after 24 hours, they took the pessary out. They were like, we're ready to break your waters. You're, I think, 3 centimeters dilated. But we don't have the staff to do it. Because basically he was...
Oh my God,
yeah, Lord. He was born on this like blue supermoon. And there's this weird thing where when there's supermoons, they have loads and loads of babies being born. So there was no staff. And I think we had to wait three days because we weren't allowed to leave the hospital because the process had started of induction.
3 days?
Yeah, and then 3 days before anyone was available to break my waters.
So what happens in those 3 days?
Those 3 days, I'm not allowed to leave the hospital. I'm being sick. Like, I can't keep anything down, even water. I'm kind of trying to get my waters to break naturally with, like, all, you know, the bouncing on the ball, going for walks. I was petrified that I would like undilate, but apparently that's not a thing. Once you've dilated to like a point, it stays at that point. You only dilate more. It was just about waiting. And it was honest, it was like being in prison. Like it was, the midwives were coming in and being like, not today. And I'd be like, please, like,
And then my mum came in at one point, obviously mum mode, like kind of went a bit mental and was like, her mental health is suffering. Because I know it was only 3 days, but oh my gosh, it felt like 3 months, like just waiting.
Were you still having contractions, Mia, during this period?
No, so the contractions had stopped. So it was just the sickness that I was having, which also then felt really weird because I was like, why have the contractions stopped? And then they kept kind of, they were coming and monitoring me, but we kept going through periods of losing his heartbeat or his heartbeat being really slow. And then I'm panicking because of stuff that I've read. And I'm like, is he in distress because we've had like these back-to-back contractions and then nothing?
Yeah.
And then basically, long story short, we're then in a really long labor because he was in distress and had got stuck. And after, I think it was about 26 hours, I think it was, someone made the call to do forceps delivery. And then he was out.
Oh yeah.
He was out in like 8 minutes with the forceps, but where he was then in so much distress, he was out, but they like put him on me and he didn't cry or anything. So they had to like take him away immediately. But by this point I was so high on like gas and air and all of this. I was just like, they were like, okay, like say bye to your baby. Basically, we need to take him away. And I was just like, bye. Like everything's cool. Baby's out. Like I'm out of pain. Amazing. But then I lost loads of blood, all of this. Cause basically the labor had just gone on way too long and we'd been left too long. And then we both caught this infection because it was over 24 hours from when I did eventually have my waters broken.
Yes.
So it was all kind of all this stuff.
Did he have to have a lumbar puncture? Was it called a lumbar puncture? Is that
right? Do you know
what? And the antibiotics because of the waters breaking.
Yeah, so he did have to have, I don't even know what he actually had to have. I was so away with it. I didn't even know. I'd text a lot of my friends to say like he was here, or Tom, my partner, was texting them and they're all like, where is he? Let's see photos. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, no one kind of explained to me what was happening. And I think because I then had to have a transfusion.
Well, that's so scary.
Yeah. But I had to have a transfusion and stuff. So I think they kind of were dealing with me. And then I was allowed to go and see him the next day. And I don't think he was as poorly as they thought he was, because my mum went to see him when I wasn't allowed to. And they were like, he's really sick. But then by the time I went to see him the next day, they were quite like, he's doing really well. So I think he was out of NICU within 48 hours. And then he came to stay on the ward with me. And that was like, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I was like, what on earth is going on?
Mm. My gosh.
Yeah. And then when we had the drive home, I just cried the whole way because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And in my head, he was really ill. I was like, I've got a really ill baby and I don't know what to do with him. And I had this like mad obsession with his temperature, I think, because when I visited him in NICU, there was this monitor like monitoring his temperature. And they'd made a comment about his temperature dropping a little bit. And then I'd become like fixated on his temperature when we got home. And it was like, I was poor kid. Mm. I was relentlessly taking his temperature.
I reckon we all do that at the beginning because we've got no idea how to regulate a baby's temperature. And also what temperature they're supposed to be at. I didn't know that either. I remember my midwife coming around and they were like, where is she? And I was like, oh, she's just in the bedroom I've swaddled her and I've got the radiators on. And they were like, well, does she just feel a bit hot in the flat? And then she went in, she was like, she's boiling. And I was like, oh God, I'm sorry. I've got no idea. Didn't know. You just don't know, do you? You've been to every single NCT class and read every single book. It is an absolute minefield.
It's impossible.
I mean, I still don't know. I still don't know what temperature my kids are supposed to be. I bought one of those temperature guns recently. Even like now they're at school, they always say, oh, sorry, you know, Gigi's got to come home because she's got a temperature. And I'm like, oh, okay, keep an eye on her temperature. And I think, what does that mean? I don't even know what she's supposed to be. I've got no idea. Has she got a temperature? I don't know. Maybe. And anyway, so I got this gun and now it goes red. I just got one from Amazon. I don't know. But it goes red and green. I mean, it's like the clear blue pregnancy test that spell it out. I just put it her head like that or his head, bang, like that. And it says green or red. So you've just obviously told us about your birth. And, you know, that is a traumatic start. Like, by any account, that is a traumatic start. How were, like, the first few weeks for you after that?
I mean, we went to stay with my mum and my dad, I think, after the traumacy of it. And also because I was still I was really low on iron and stuff. So I was having to have iron tablets and just wasn't fully coherent. And this infection that I still don't even know what it was. But so we went to stay with them and that was amazing because I relentlessly cried for no reason. Like, my dad was cutting the grass and I started crying because I was like, I remember dad cutting the grass when I was a baby. And my mum was amazing because she was like, that's fine. It's totally normal. And then she was like making me laugh with the things that she could remember she cried at. And that was just so good because I know that if I wasn't there and I was crying this much, I'd be panicking. So it was great having that support from the offset. And then the biggest thing for me, I was like, I don't understand how people have a baby and go back to doing life. Like, I was just like, I don't understand how you do it. And as soon as kind of our friends started coming to see him, it was amazing because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm still Mia. I can still like be Mia and mum as well. And it was just incredible. Kind of, I was really scared for that moment because I thought I'd be like, oh my God, like trying to impress people with my mum skills. And I actually had no idea, but no, it was actually brilliant that I was able to kind of do both. And it felt like such a relief. And I watched this video that Molly May posted and she was like, in the first few weeks, she was like, I didn't know if I would feel happiness again. And when I saw her post that, I was like, that breathed like such a sigh of relief because I'd seen so much about like the newborn bubble and stuff, which I just didn't really have. Like I was so stressed, so like worried the whole time. And so like, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing that. I just didn't have this like newborn bubble. And seeing Molly May post that just made me go, oh my God, it's okay. Like, it doesn't need to be perfect straight away. And we can like figure it out. And I think it took me a good like 6 weeks before I was like, oh my God, like I'm really loving this. And then like, I remember someone saying to me, it does just keep getting better and better. And since watching Molly May's video, it has just kept getting better.
And how incredible that something that, you know, Molly posted has impacted you. But think about how many other thousands of people saw that video, thousands of new mums, you know, possibly millions of new people globally and gone, oh my God, I feel like that as well. This is exactly what it is. That's why it's so important to really share the real truths about parenting. That's why we're so passionate about it, because otherwise you can see all this curated shit on Instagram and think, oh well, everyone else is nailing it, but I'm actually not enjoying it at all. It's okay to say that, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that's it. It's like just being as honest as you can about it, because 9 times out of 10 most people are feeling the same way as you, just like haven't said it out loud yet. And even as soon as you say it out loud without even hearing it, when you say it out loud, that helps you. And then to hear it as well, it's just, it makes all the difference.
What's the biggest thing about motherhood that surprised you, Mia?
Accepting help has been the biggest thing that surprised me. And kind of not feel, I think, and like the being selfish with my time and saying no to things. I was always, I kind of mentioned it a bit earlier, very much the yes person. I'd say yes to everything. Whereas now I'm like, particularly with work, you know, now I'm like, no, I need to spend some time with my son and I want to do that. And I remember as well, actually, my cousin telling me a few years ago after she had a baby, just try and do as much as you can before you have babies, because when you have them, it's not that you can't do it, it's that you don't want to. And that's resonated with me so much because it's just like all of a sudden, everything shifts to being all like, everything I do now is for him. I heard people kind of say that before, but I don't think you can understand it until you actually feel that. It's crazy.
It's lovely.
I love that. It's lovely. It's really accurate. Something that Molly May said on her video really changed motherhood for you.
Yeah.
What would you say, or what piece of advice would you give to a new mum listening to this now?
I think just that it doesn't have to be perfect and it's not perfect. And just to really, really ask for help and accept it when you need it. I think that's the biggest thing. Because people are there and do want to be there. So just don't be afraid to ask for that help, I think.
That's lovely. And we'd love to hear your products. We ask each guest on the podcast the diehard products that they use every day, things for you, things for baby.
Genius. So after I gave birth, the Frida mum had like these witch hazel kind of like wipe things that you put in your maternity pad, and oh my God, I had an episiotomy, so they were like just the best things. So 100% witch hazel wipes things. I can't remember exactly what they're called, but yeah, you put them in your maternity pad and they are a lifesaver. The doona, the like car seat with wheels.
Love.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like I have barely used a pram. The doona is just like a godsend. I don't know how to pronounce this. Tommy Tippy, is it? Tommy Tippy? Prep machine.
Tommy Tippy.
The prep machine. Yeah. As soon as I started formula, someone recommended it and that is a game changer. A Fisher-Price kick and play. I had a really hard time getting Leo to do tummy time. And then this has like piano thing on the end with lights and it's like just distracts him and it's amazing. And finally,
brilliant. Love that.
Yeah, it's really good. Someone suggested it to me at like a class thing that me and my friend went to, and he just would not do tummy time. All these other babies doing tummy time, he was like, absolutely not. And she said, get the Fisher-Price kick and play because it's so good at distracting them. And then finally,
amazing.
I think, do you know what? The MAM anti-colic bottles.
Yeah. Yes, we use those. We love them.
I swear by those. I literally, we've never had any problems with him and kind of reflux or anything like that or gas. But my friend used another bottle and she was like, oh my God, as soon as I switched bottles to the MAM anti-colic ones, his problems were all gone. So highly recommend those as well.
Oh, amazing. That's great to hear. Oh, Mia, what a gorgeous chat. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for
having me. Good luck with all your work. Good luck with motherhood.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I reckon we not only have we made a new mate there, but I also think that we should all channel our inner Mia when it comes to being really honest about how we feel about parenting.
Yeah, sometimes. I know. Yeah, I loved her. And she was actually, you know, we keep going on about her being a young mum. She's super grown up. Like,
I know. Really mature.
Great perspective, really mature. I mean, what? Just an all-round lovely human, I think. We love her. Thanks, Mia. Really enjoyed it.
Exactly. I think she would have helped lots of people listening to that podcast. And I found the stuff that she was saying about Molly May really relatable, that actually sometimes it just takes somebody that you follow, somebody that you admire to really kind of say it how it is. It's not always like that, but it can be, and that can be really reassuring to you.
Definitely. And all of these negative messages we hear about social media and, you know, the way the world is now and all of that, I love it when you hear those positive messages, because ultimately that's why we're doing what we're doing. It's to make people feel less alone, and that's exactly what happened with her. So I hope anyone listening to this who is struggling, or if you've got a friend who, you know, could do with listening to Mia, then please do pass it on, because it really does help.
100% George. So yeah, grateful to Mia. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give our podcast a little follow, and then you'll never miss an episode.
Yeah, and any feedback, guests you'd like us to talk to, or, you know, just anything at all, really, want to have a chat, we're on Instagram at Made by Mamas, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.